That includes cold. Amen. God's greater than all of it. Amen. Amen, amen. I have a text for you. Matthew chapter 16, very familiar passage of scripture for this church. Amen. And, of course, I'm missing Bishop tonight and have been praying for him today. He mentioned that he went to the doctor and they've given him some antibiotics, so praying that that will help resolve whatever's going on there. But praying for the rest of you all as well, and believe that God is going to keep his hand upon this church family, and he's going to give us strength. Amen. And we're not alone either, by the way. We went to Colorado, and thanks to Bishop and allowing us to go, and we're able to spend this weekend there, and they had service, regular services just like ours, 10 a.m., 6 p.m. on Sunday, and showed up to church on Sunday morning, and more than half the church is missing. And so they had the same situation going on with sickness, and so they ended up just canceling. They canceled Sunday school on Sunday morning, but they ended up canceling their service on Sunday night. So we're not alone in this fight. We're not alone in this battle. Amen. But and God is obviously much greater than all of it. Thank you all for your attendance, and not only physically, but also your sensitivity to the Holy Ghost and worshiping. Amen. In spite of all this, Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 19 as a text tonight. Amen. The Bible tells us, when Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Verse 16 Verse 17 says, "And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Amen. Church, do we realize how blessed we are to have that revelation? Revelation of the mighty God in Christ. Jesus said to Simon Bar-Jona, he said to Peter, that flesh and blood didn't reveal that. So if you have that understanding, amen, that's something that you got from God. Amen. This revelation of the mighty God in Christ. And so he said, you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. Jesus said, "Blessed are you, for flesh and blood hath not revealed unto you, but my Father which is in heaven." Verse 18, he says, "And I say also unto thee." Now that we've got who I am established, Jesus responded to Peter and said, "You're Peter. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Everybody say, "The gates of hell shall not prevail against it." That's as close to a tongue twister as you can in church. Amen. But I believe what Jesus said. And I think the way that Jesus said it to Peter is significant. And I'm going to try to help you see that tonight. Amen. And why don't you lay down your Bibles and ask the Lord to help us tonight. Let's pray that the Lord would remove every distraction. Help us to have his perfect way in this service tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for this opportunity, Lord, to feel your presence. God, this opportunity to worship you, to lift you up tonight. I'm asking you, Jesus, that you would speak to each of us, Lord, in this service tonight. Your word would find its mark in my heart, Lord. I pray in the name of Jesus, have your perfect way before we leave this house. In Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated tonight. I don't know how this is going to turn out. I don't know if this is a Sunday night message or a Tuesday night message, but it's Thursday night, so I guess it'll be a Thursday night message. Amen. And so we are privileged to be in a church that preaches the truth. Amen. In an unadulterated fashion, without fear or favor to the popular doctrines and theology of other churches. Amen. I'm thankful for a man of God who knows what it's like to stand against all odds. Amen. Not just on the subject of the Godhead, but in many other holiness standards and so on. But stands firmly on the Word of God. That's where he can stand so sure, because the words, the principles from that is established as as our guidelines, as our standards at this church, are obviously founded on the Word of God. And so that's why he and many others can stand so firmly. Amen. Perhaps some of you came into this new year looking over your shoulder. Some of you looking over your shoulder saying, man, look what I accomplished last year. Or maybe there's some that said, man, I wish I got that done last year. I don't know which group that you're a part of, but I know which group I'm a part of. And so I heard one man say this about New Year's resolutions. He said it's better to set a New Year's resolution and break it than to never set one at all. And so I thought, hey, that's a good point. That gave me a little bit of motivation, Brother Hall, to go ahead and set a couple for this year. Amen. It's all right to go ahead and set out goals for a year and to establish them. Amen. But let me try to help you tonight and assure you that there's something that doesn't require goal setting. There's something that doesn't require ambition or the correct amount of motivation. Amen. If you're sitting on these blue padded pews tonight, amen, you can just emphatically declare, I am in the church. I'm in the church. You don't have to do anything special to be qualified to fit into the church. I've heard one man say, I think it's been Bishop many times, he's made this statement that God doesn't choose the qualified. He qualifies the chosen. That if you're sitting here, God's working on you. God's helping you to become what he wants you to become. And that we, of course, none of us, I hope none of us feel that we have arrived. I hope that none of us feel that while we're still walking on this earth, that we, we're God's gift to earth, that we're God's gift to man. I don't think anybody here feels that way, and I sure hope not. But I'm here, I just want to help somebody get this realization that if you're in this place, or perhaps you want to be in this place, you're at home and you're unable to because of your sickness or whatever, obstacles are preventing you from being here. If you work over the road, Brother Kent, and you want to be here, that you are in the church. Everybody say, I'm in the church. By the way, that's the title. So I'm in the church. Amen. You God didn't put you in the church because you had this special kind of knack about you. He didn't choose you to sit on these pews because he liked the way you looked when you put on a suit and dress and an outfit. He didn't put you in this church because he said, I like the way they do their hair. Or I like the way they wear the glasses and all this. No, God brought you into the church because he saw what you could be. And he is working on us together as a church body. Amen. It's time for the truth church. Amen, to get a revelation, an understanding, amen, that Jesus gave to Peter in Matthew chapter 16. Amen, Peter came to a revelation, amen, from God on high. Amen, he said, you are Christ, the Son of God. But Jesus turned around and said, let me give you another revelation, Peter. You're in the church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen, it's from the revelation of who Jesus is that we receive power to become a member or a part of his church. Jesus commanded that his disciples should teach. Those that are in his church should teach and baptize all nations. Why? Because of who he is. It says this in Matthew 28:18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. If you're going to be in my church, I want you to get a revelation of who I am and then go. I want you to be a functioning member of this body. I don't want you to just stand still. I want you to be in the church. Everybody say, I'm in the church. All right, we're going to get there. I promise you, before we're done, amen, we're all going to get on the same page. I've got a lot of faith tonight. Amen. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. How many of you feel like you're living in the end of the world? Well, guess what? You're still in the church. You're still in the church. Amen. We're in the safest establishment known to mankind. Amen. An eternal establishment that will take us from here to another world. Amen. That is in fact predestined to take us to that new place. Amen. Suffering and the death and resurrection of Jesus would have meant nothing if he wasn't the Son of God. If he was just another man walking on this earth. Amen. His death, burial, and resurrection would have meant nothing. But he wasn't just another man. We know this. We have this revelation. He was God in Christ. He was the image of the invisible God walking here on earth for the purpose of saving us, giving his life up. Amen. And demonstrating his power over all of which we are subject to, which includes death. The Bible tells us that it's appointed unto man once to die. And Jesus, when he came to earth, amen, and died, was buried, and resurrected, he demonstrated that he had power over even death. So your greatest obstacle that you're facing, whether in 2024 or if you brought it on into 2025, guess what? He's got power over it. All right? All right. Amen. We're going to get there. I believe I'm still. You're not shaking my faith. I'm trying to build some faith in here. Luke chapter 24, verse 46, and said unto them that it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Are you noticing a theme for those who are in the church? He said, I want you to get to work. I've got a mission for you. I can't do this without those of you. Peter, namely, is who he first identified, but insert your name there. Thou art Jahim, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. If you're in the church that is built on the rock of the revelation of who he is, buddy, you don't have anything to worry about. You don't have anything, amen, to be concerned about. Yeah, the next motivational coach may have some good ideas, and the next discipline coach might have some good merits on what they have to say. And I'm not knocking any of that, but let me tell you something that's far greater than any of those resolutions and plans and objectives for a new year is just to stay in the church. Somebody say, I'm in the church. I'm in the church. I'm in the church. Hallelujah. Amen. We've got a mission. We've got a mission to do. We've got to preach repentance. We've got to preach remission of sins in the name of Jesus. Amen. And we've got to preach the promise of the Father. Amen. That is to come. Amen. And furthermore, the power of the Holy Ghost that is to come is granted to those of us who obey and is the power that allows us to fulfill the mandate that Jesus gave us. Amen. That's why he gave us the Holy Ghost. Not for us to feel good, not for us to feel goosebumps, but so that way we can fulfill his mandate. That we can feel the same desire that he has when a lost loved one comes passing by. Amen. We may not be able to explain why we feel the way we feel about a certain someone at work or at a grocery store, at a convenience store, amen. But if you're full of the Holy Ghost, if you're in the church, amen, that's God's Spirit just trying to move and issue that man. Go and do what I've called you to do. Let's get to work. Let's do something, amen, in 2025. Say, I'm in the church. I'm in the church. Hallelujah. He said, ye shall receive power. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, after that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the earth. I'm trying to give you, amen, a purpose for 2025. Amen. If you're in this church, amen, you've got a mandate by the Holy Ghost, amen, to go forth and to teach and to teach and to teach and to
Oh, hallelujah. Amen. I'm telling you, amen, you might look yourself in the mirror and think, I'm so low down, good for nothing. I'm not worth much. But friend, you're in the church. You got a reason, amen, to go out and tell somebody about God. Hallelujah. It's not about how qualified you are. It's not about how disciplined you are. It's not about how good you are. You're in the church. You're in the church. Say, I'm in the church. Hallelujah. 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 You say, well, I don't got a good testimony. I don't have all these. I don't know as much scripture as Bishop does. Well, guess what? I don't either. He's really good at that. He's got a lot of many years studying. I'm working on it, but it's going to take me many years. Hallelujah. Amen. But in the meantime, you know what the apostle said? In Acts chapter 4, verse 20, he says, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Now, have you ever seen a drug addict changed by the power of God? Raise your hand if you've ever seen that. Have you ever seen a nicotine addict, which is technically a drug addict, so... But somebody who's addicted to smoking cigarettes, who's been delivered miraculously by the hand of God, anybody seen that? Okay. Have you ever seen anybody who was just living a crazy lifestyle and you thought that they, this is the black sheep of the family, whatever family they're associated with, you would never see them come to the house of God, but they lived out, they did come to the house of God, and they lived out the rest of the years living for God. Anybody ever seen that? Guess what? You've got some testimonies to share. We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Now, let me tell you something. If you have some things you want to see, let me tell you a little tip. Start asking God to show you. You're in the church. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. I know I'm not rolling and kicking and screaming, but I feel what I'm saying to you right now, that if you begin to pray and ask God, God, I want to see. I want to see so-and-so. I want to see, you know, I don't know if Sister Regan remembers this, but we used to do early morning devotion before school. And every single morning I would make a prayer request that the Lord would bring my Aunt Lucretia, my Uncle Daniel, and Carrie and Landon to church. And I thought a couple years ago when Landon was working with me, I thought that was an opportunity for God to work on it, and I think God was working on him. But for whatever reason, he never conceded. He never came through. He did come to Heritage, but he never went to church. Thinking, punk. But I hope he doesn't hear this. He'll be all right with it. He knows me well enough to know I still love him. But I would pray. But you know what is funny, is interesting? I still haven't stopped praying for that specific prayer request. Not because I'm anything spiritual. It's just I believe that God can do it. I believe that God will hear me, and I believe that God's actually working. Amen. I've seen them move all over the country, down to Texas, down to Arkansas, and now guess what? They're moving back to Kansas City. Oh, you know what? I'm dumb enough to believe that God can do it. I mean, that's not dumb. That's smart. Amen. God can do it. You know why? Because I'm in the church. And Jesus said, if you're in the church, the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church. I wonder if anybody in here is facing a challenge, a struggle that you just can't seem to whip it. You spent all 2024 trying this routine and that, and you just can't do it. Let me tell you something. The trick is to get into the church. Amen. And then your perspective begins to change, and you start recognizing what's more important, and priority shifts, and the status of your bank account becomes less relevant, and your relationships and connections become less. Amen. But your relationship with God, amen, becomes the premier thing because you're in the church. Hallelujah. You start developing a feeling towards that oddball at the family reunion. Why? Because you're letting the Spirit of God, amen, begin to stir something in you. And Jesus is reminding you that you're in my church and you've got a mandate to do something in the kingdom of God. And I put you in this place. I feel the Holy Ghost, amen, right now, amen, so that you can be used so that he can put his word in your mouth. Friend, you're in 2025, not just by happenstance, not just because you made it, but because God, amen, wants you to do something for him. You're in the church, say, I'm in the church. We can't speak, but the things that we have seen and the things that we have heard. Amen, as we were singing a little bit earlier, we're talking about, amen, I have not seen ear, neither has ear heard, nor has it entered into the mind. A man, what God's prepared for them. Totally butchered that, but I think you get what I'm saying. But I think in contrast to that, we see what the apostles did in Acts 4, which is that we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. God doesn't expect you let me make sure I word this correctly. God doesn't expect you, amen, to go beyond your what would be reasonable. In other words, those things which you haven't seen, those things which you haven't heard just yet. Amen. I'm telling you, God wants to show you those things. He wants you to be able to give testimony to those things. Amen. So that you can speak of the things that you have both seen and heard. Hallelujah. This isn't magic. This isn't some kind of magic trick. Amen. Some kind of show, some form of entertainment. Amen. This is God working through us to see this generation saved. God isn't playing around. I believe God's coming back sooner than any one of us might imagine. Amen. We got to get to work because we are in the church. I'm in the church. I'm in the church. I'm in the church. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't want to get too sidetracked. Hallelujah. But God gave to his church the power to perform miracles. Why? So we can give testimony to who he is. We can show others, show forth the glory of God. Hallelujah. 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 Mark chapter 16, verse 15 says, this is the Great Commission recorded by Mark. Jesus said unto them, go ye into all the world. This is Mark 16 and 5. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. You guys still believe that scripture? Do you believe that if they do not believe, they're going to be damned? But if they do, they can be saved. We've got a lot of work ahead of us. 2025 ought to be full of work for the kingdom of God. Amen. God, do whatever with me that you can. Amen. I give you my every part of my body, every part of my mind, every part of my spirit. Every resource that I can conjure is yours, God. Why? Because I'm in the church. I want to do something for the kingdom of God. You say, well, I just sit on a pew on Sunday mornings and Tuesday nights, and I just go through the motions. I'm just a member of the true church. No, 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 no. No, you're missing what I'm trying to communicate. This is, if you're in this place, you're a functional part of the church. You're as necessary. I might get in trouble. I don't think I will, but you're as necessary as Bishop. Because if there's nobody sitting on this pew, there's nobody for Bishop to pastor. You're a necessary part of this church. You are in, say it, I'm in the church. I'm going to stay in the church. Amen. I'm going to be in the church all the way through the end of 2025. Hallelujah. Amen. That's not a New Year's resolution. That's just a matter of fact because I'm in the church. I'm in the church. I've seen too much. I've heard too much. I can't but speak of the things that I've seen and heard. I've got too much to talk about. Amen. I've seen too much. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 16. Let me continue reading. Verse 17 says, "And these signs shall follow them that believe." If we believe that those that believe should be saved, and that those who do not believe would be damned, we also need to believe this scripture because it comes immediately after that one. So these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues. And they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Amen. You believe it? I want you to know that when you receive the revelation of who Jesus is, when you believe, you will witness the power and glory of God in your life like never before. Hallelujah. I can testify to that. I've witnessed it firsthand, and I know many of you have as well. Many of us claim to have a revelation of who Jesus is, but I submitted to you that until you receive the revelation of who he is in your life, you don't have a complete revelation of who he is. It's not enough just to believe the theology, the doctrine. It's got to be applicable. It's got to have a function in your life. If you just confess, how are you any different than the Baptists? If you just say it, oh, I feel this so strongly. If you just say it, if you just show up, how is that any different? But if it has a functional purpose in your life, Brother Jaheim, if it changes a decision that you wouldn't ordinarily make, but because you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, because he saved you, because his blood was spilled on Calvary, amen, because you're in the church, now I'm going to do it differently. Now I've got a better testimony. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm not going to test or tempt God, amen, like the enemy did, amen, when Jesus was walking on the earth. But if I do drink any deadly thing, amen, it's not going to, I've got enough faith to know, amen, because I'm in the church. Amen, I've seen God work. Amen, if I'm sick, I can go, amen, and have prayer, and they will recover. Hallelujah. Why? Because I'm in the church. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Church, we're a blessed people. Amen. To be still standing on the word of God. Amen. To be in a place, amen, that declares the unadulterated word of God. Hallelujah. 8:26. I'm trying to hurry. Hallelujah. Peter, Jesus said to Peter in Matthew 16, verse 18, I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, upon the rock, this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against thee, against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Compare this statement with the calling of Abraham. How many of you know about FCOT or FCOT? No? First Church of the Old Testament? Good old Abraham, one of the founding members, was also called by God, just like you and me. Genesis 12 and 1 says, Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show you. The definition of the word church that Jesus used in Matthew 16 and 18 means called out and or called unto. Abraham, that this to me indicates that Abraham is the founding member of Ephcot, the first church of the Old Testament. Amen. Doesn't it sound like living for God, you know, getting that call from God, and then you don't know the destination, but you're walking by faith. You're making it. You move from one year to the next, and you're going off of what you heard from God, perhaps, I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago, because you're in the church. If you don't believe that Abraham was a part of a church in the Old Testament, the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament, used the same word that Jesus used in Matthew 16:18 to describe the children, the assembly, or the congregation of Israel throughout the Old Testament. You can see Judges 21:8, 1 Chronicles 29:1, Deuteronomy 31:30, and Joshua 8:35. But Stephen, the deacon in the New Testament, he referred to the Israelite church in the wilderness. In Acts 7:38, it says, "This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel, which spake to him in Mount Sinai, and with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us." So now that we've established Ephcot, you can laugh, unless it's not funny. Then you don't have to laugh, okay? Don't pity laugh for me. I'm just trying to catch my breath, bro. Anyway, so we've established that the church exists in the Old Testament. We can move forward. The image of the calling of Abraham is a beautiful portrait of a New Testament saint who's been called by God. And you can reference Romans 1:7, 1 Corinthians 1:2. To be a saint is, in fact, a calling. It's a calling. Just like the calling to preach or the calling to serve in any other capacity within the kingdom of God, we are all first called to be saints. It's a calling. It's a calling by God. Amen. It's a divine calling. It is not something to shirk or to look down at, as Saul did with his birthright. If you are born again, friend, to you, amen, the calling to be a saint is your spiritual birthright. Hallelujah. Amen. I hope that what I'm saying to you tonight is helping somebody. Amen. That you're now a part of a new family, that you have now been called out. You're no longer associated with your previous quote unquote associates, that whether family or whether friends or whether culture, if you have an Irish background, that yes, that's still a part of who you are, but you're no longer quote unquote Irish. You're now, amen, in the church. You're now a saint. Hallelujah. The characteristics of a saint ought to dominate every other characteristic in your life. Amen. The characteristic of the God-called child of God, amen, ought to dominate everything you do, everything you say. That we should walk circumspectly before the Lord as children of God. Hallelujah. We're called. We are called. We are called with direction, with purpose, with hope, with promise. I'm in the church. I'm not just walking idly by. Amen. On into a new year, crossing my fingers, hoping the bills get paid, No. I'm in the church. I'm in the church. I've got a purpose. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm trying to hurry. I'm almost finished. I promise. Lord called to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. Did we read this? Well, let's read it again just for good measure. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house and unto a land that I will show thee. Man, Moses is a good preacher. He's confirming everything I'm just saying. That's why I'm saying that. Verse 2, and he says, and I will make unto thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be. Did you know that God wants to use you to be a blessing to others? Yes, you. Yes, you. We say, Brother Hilton, I don't want to be embarrassing. I can't even look at myself in the mirror. I'm a low down, good for nothing. No, you are in the church. You're in the church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I hope that by the time you leave this place, that when you lay your head on the pillow tonight, you hear me screaming in your ear, I'm in the church. And then when you wake up in the morning, Sister Pam, you hear it again. I'm in the church. Sister Brian, when you wake up tomorrow, I want you to think I'm in the church. I'm not just making it. I'm in the church. Devil, you can't prevail against me because I'm in a God-called institution. Amen. I'm protected by the angels of heaven. I'm a child of the living King. I'm in the church. I'm a functional part of the true church, Brother Brad. I'm not just a member. I'm in some organization. I put in my tithe on a weekly. No, no, no. I'm in the church. I'm called by God. I want to do something for God. I don't want to just make it this year. I'm in the church. And those of us who've been in the church a while, or even those of us who are just getting in, amen, we have a mandate not only to help others, amen, outside of the church, but also to help others inside of the church. To be a brother to our brothers. To be a sister to our... I feel the Holy Ghost right now. I hope this church is hearing what I'm trying to convey. Amen. I'm in the church. I've got a brother, amen, that's sick. I'm going to pray for him. I've got a pastor, amen, that's been infected by this sickness. I'm going to pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. That's what Abram did. Genesis 14:12. The Bible tells us that they took Lot. That old scoundrel, good for nothing, doesn't know how to obey. God said, don't take anything, and he loaded up his wagon. And then somebody took him. Well, good riddance. Some of us would actually think that. It was one of our brothers like that. You know, the ones that loaded up the wagon when they weren't supposed to, the ones that's cheating. And they, well, saw it coming. I knew it. I just knew it. I could see it in their personality. They're not cut like the rest of us. Different material, different shape, different form. So they took Lot. And what did Abram do? Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom and his goods, and departed. And let me skip down to verse 13. It says, and there came one that had escaped and told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol and brother of Aner. And these were confederate with Abram. Abraham didn't just go after Lot by himself. He said, hey, guys, let's pray together. Let's get under a burden for this person together. Why? Because we're in the church. This is a brother. And he's being attacked. He's being affected. And we can interpret that however we want to, whether that's physical, whether that's spiritual, whether that's financial, emotional. However our brother or sister are taken, but we have a responsibility as their brother to confederate. To become confederate, to join forces with our brothers to pray on their behalf. Not to stand in the stead of pastor and try to counsel, but to pray. Amen. To seek out their protection. Amen. To ask God to help them, to strengthen them. You say, what can I do? You can pray. I don't have money in the bank to give them help. That's not what I said. I said you can pray. Oh, hallelujah. God restored to us, amen, the power of prayer. There's so much authority when you go into the throne room of heaven as the child of the King and say, Daddy, I need some help. I've got a friend over here who's going through it. And I know you're on the throne, and I'm asking you, amen, to help them. Don't give up praying for a lost brother or a lost sister or a lost daughter or a lost son. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Friend, don't stop. Don't stop praying because there is power in your prayer. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's talk to the Lord right now. God, I'm asking you, amen, to still instill this word into my heart and into the hearts of those that are here and those that are listening. Come on, let's pray right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, strengthen our church, unify us, bind us together, amen, with one accord, amen, with one mind and one accord. Let your perfect will be accomplished. Use us in 2025. Hallelujah. I want to reiterate something that I have already touched on a little bit, but I want to drive this home. I want you to leave this place, amen, with this revelation, amen, that he's not just God in flesh, amen, in your pages, but he's God in flesh in your body. That's called the gift of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. When we come together as a church body, He chose you. He chose you. He chose you. He has no other body. The power of the Holy Ghost is granted to us to conduct ourselves as the church. Holy Ghost is given to us to conduct ourselves as the church. From the very beginning, the church's purpose has been to be a blessing to the other families in the earth. How can I be a blessing? Have you ever thought about, you know, the gift that you were given? Yeah, that's a good scripture. Freely you have received, now freely give. You're in the church. You don't have a corner on this church market. Share it. And God gave you the power to share it. Woo! Hallelujah. There's something in this room right now that's trying to appeal to us. God wants you to get this understanding. You're not just so-and-so sitting on a pew. You're in the church. You're a God-called saint with a Holy Ghost mandate. I can't make it any more authoritative than that. It doesn't become any more real than that. There's no greater authorization. God wants you to be a blessing. Abraham and his descendants, Ephcot, the first church of the Old Testament, they fell short. They couldn't fulfill what God wanted them to become. You know why? Because they didn't have the Holy Ghost. Guess what? We got the Holy Ghost. Just like the Bible. Just like the Bible. It's like Jesus said. Ye shall receive power, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Tell your testimony. Tell what you have seen and heard. Amen. In Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria, if we could all stand into the uttermost parts of the earth. I'm going to give you the key that you need to open those doors. We have everything that we need, Truth Church, to do what God has called us to do in 2025. You say, well, I didn't do it quite right in 24. Join the club. You're in the church still. You're still living for God. You still got a promise. You ought to share that with somebody. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands to the Lord right now. God, we ask you tonight, Lord, give us boldness. Give us grace. Give us the power. Give us the keys. Give us the words to return to work, to return to our schools, to return, Lord, to our grocery stores.